I want to talk to you about a subject called, it's right up here on the boards, what does holiness have to do with me? Isn't it enough that I'm religious? Isn't it enough that I watch my mouth? Isn't it enough that I try to screen what I watch on television? I'm good to my wife. I'm good to my kids. Isn't it enough that I pray on a daily basis? What in the world does this holiness business have to do with me? I'm very religious. Go to church all the time. I'm religious. So what else do I have to do? You got to throw holiness on top of everything else? Yes. So I want you to do this. If you found it, I want you to close your eyes with me just for a minute. We're going to do a little exercise. Promise I won't throw anything at you. I want you to imagine for a second that you have went out in your backyard and you have a lemon tree. You've been waiting on this specific lemon to ripen just at the right moment. You got it in your hand. Picture that yellow lemon that's got the dimples in it. You can see it, the ends there. Imagine you taking it back inside and go in and you find a knife and you cut that thing open and you grab one piece of it. You slice it right in half. You grab that one piece. Then imagine, if you will, squeezing that thing as hard as you can. Now imagine the juices coming up to the top, flowing into your hand and dripping down to the table. Now imagine you putting your mouth up to that lemon. You can open your eyes. Does all of you guys have more saliva at the end of that story that you did at the beginning? In your mouth? You know, it's amazing how much the mind reacts to what we do, to what we think. It's amazing how the body reacts to what the mind thinks. That just goes to show you the power of your thoughts, the power of what you put into your mind, the power of what you put into your mind, because what goes into your mind, your body reacts to. So what you feed into, your body reacts to. There was an older native that was telling a story to these two young braves, and he told a story that in your lives, young braves, there's two dogs that are fighting within you. A dog that is very vicious that does bad, and a dog that is equally as vicious but that does good. And they're constantly at war. They're constantly fighting. And one of the young guys says, "Who wins?" And the older statesman said, "The one you feed. It's the one you feed." See, it's important that whatever we put into our minds feeds on our thoughts. It feeds in our life. It consumes us. So many times we allow things to consume us in our life that should not be there. Whether we obsess over it, things that we read or watch or expose ourselves to, our bodies react to what we put into it. Amen? That's why it's so important as believers that we hide the Word of God in our hearts so that we do not sin against the Lord. And the reason for that is because not just so that you can memorize Scripture, not so that you can just memorize verses. I mean, we can do that with poems. We can just memorize poems and stuff like that. It makes us feel good, and we get goosebumps and all these things. But the Word of God, the Bible says, is living and active. Poems are not living and active. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Gets down to the very core of who we are. The Word of God, And as we hide the Word of God, not only in our minds, but in our spirit, our bodies begin to line up with the Word of God. Amen? And where once we could not achieve living for the Lord, now because we have the Word and His Spirit living in us, we can achieve anything as long as the Holy Spirit is backing us. Amen? And so today I want to talk to you about 1 Peter 1:15. And let's read. Actually, let's go up to verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So what does holiness have to do with you? Answer, everything. Everything. Your very existence and your walk with the Lord hinges on holiness. Because the Bible says without holiness in our life, we cannot see the Lord. Without His holy presence within us, we cannot make it. That's why it's so important that we are yielded to the Spirit of God, that we are yielded to His leading, we are yielded to His guidance in our lives. Because without His guidance, we're lost. Amen? How many of you guys have ever ridden on a motorcycle and you were the passenger and you leaned out this way to spit? What happens? Doesn't it come right back on you? Sometimes when we're walking with the Lord, if we are not led by the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I'm talking about saliva a lot today. But if we're not led by the Spirit of the Lord, we're doing just that. We're making no headway. It's coming back on us. No matter how we try, no matter how we tilt our head, it's going to come back on us. And so that's why as believers, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm reading a book now by Jim Cimbala called, what's it called, Randy? Spirit Rising. And I'm into the part about the Holy Spirit, just getting into the first chapter. And Jim Cimbala says that the Holy Spirit is the most neglected God of the triune head because not everybody understands it. Not everybody understands Him and what He's doing. The Holy Spirit's job is to do one thing. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "I must go away so that the Holy Spirit can come, so that the Comforter can come." Now, to a lot of people and even His disciples, they didn't understand that at that time because they were thinking, "You are the Son of God. How much more power, how much more God incarnate do we need here on earth?" So they didn't understand that. But Jesus said that there's one that comes after me that will baptize with fire. In other words, that will give you power and authority to overcome. You see, whenever you become born again and you ask Christ into your life and you repent of your sins, that's not the end of the story. Amen? You've got a whole life to live ahead of you. That one decision is not good enough. We have got to, on every single occasion, every moment of our lives, be yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes not only to comfort us, but to empower us and lead us and instruct us into the ways of holiness. And without the leading of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're lost. We're going around in circles. I think I told a story one time of in the fall, you'll see these farmers, they cut these mazes out in their crops, in the corn. How many of you guys have ever been to one of those before? It's pretty cool. You got usually in the middle, there's this big stand, and this guy's up on the platform, and he's got a bullhorn. And if he sees somebody getting irritated because they can't get out, he tells them, "Turn to the left, turn to the right." You know? And I imagine that some of those people, he probably gets arguments out of them. No, I've already been to the right. You're wrong. And the guy up there is saying, if you'll turn to the right and then to the left, you can get out of here. But sometimes, see, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is our guide. He is what empowers us. He stands up there and he says, turn to the left. Turn to the right. That is the best way for your life. If you'll listen to me and obey me, I will lead you and instruct you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to reflect the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit didn't come with his own agenda. He didn't come with his own plan. He came to reflect the glory and the power of the Father and nothing else. He has no other story to tell but that which the Father tells him to tell. Amen? Because whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can be rest assured that it is from the Lord. Having the Spirit's power working and living inside of us is extremely important. Because without his leading, without his guidance, we are nothing but blind guides ourselves. Kind of like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees, they didn't start out bad. They didn't. Their primary goal was to do this. Interpret the law so that people could better follow God. So their intentions were great. The problem is they got into legalism. They began to add rules that were not in the law. They began to add things that were not of God but were man-made. And so what they became were, Jesus called them a brood of vipers, blind guides, sons of the devil. That's some hard stuff, isn't it? But sometimes we can be that as well. We can be blind guides because we're not being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to holiness, to righteousness. You know, the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. That means that we need some help, right? Because we want to think of ourselves as good. We want to think of ourselves as good moral agents here on this earth. But the fact is, the Bible says we are hopeless without the Lord. We are undone without him. And we don't want to picture ourselves that way, right? Nobody wants to see themselves as bad. You guys wake up every day and say, you know what, I want to see myself as bad today. Now, we may wake up and have, you know, wake up on the wrong side of the bed every once in a while. But we don't look at ourselves in the mirror and go, I think I want to be bad today. I think I want to be hopeless today. I think I want to argue with the Lord today on his direction for my life. We don't start out that way. But sometimes, just like this dead plant over here that has been disconnected from the vine, we wind up finding ourselves looking green but producing no fruit, producing nothing that lasts because we're striving in our own strength, we're striving in our own understanding. And the thing is that holiness is interpreted around the world as something different to every single religious group. Saw this thing on the Discovery Channel. This Tibetan monk, he thought that if he would get on the ground and roll 12 miles back to the temple, that would cause him to be a holy man. And so people all around him cheered the entire way. His body was bruised. His arms were scarred up. He was dirty. He was tired. He was, you know, completely exhausted after rolling 12 miles. Can you imagine rolling 12 miles? I can't imagine walking 12 miles, much less rolling 12 miles. Another guy, he was one of the holy men in a tribe, and he decided that if he would erect a pole 20 feet up in the air, get up on that pole and stoop on that pole, stay on that pole for as long as he could, that would make him holy. That would make him a righteous person. That would make him a man of understanding. That would make him a man of stature. But you see, the problem with that is that Their holiness is based on what they can do. Our holiness is based on what He can do. Amen? Because we in ourselves cannot be holy. We in ourselves cannot be justified. We in ourselves cannot be made right. It is by His holiness and Him alone that creates holiness within inside of us. Amen? It's studying the word of truth, hiding it in our heart, letting it be our guide, dying to ourselves on a regular basis. Christianity is not a passive thing. It's not a prayer that we pray and that's the end of it. The Bible says that there's a death that has to happen on our behalf. That we are to be crucified into His death. That we are to die to ourselves, that we are to struggle, that we are to stand firm, that we are to be watchmen on the wall, that we are to pray without ceasing. We are to believe, even though that we cannot see what's about to happen, we are to believe it anyway. We are to believe His word over our own intuition. We are to believe His word over our own passions, over our own goals, over our own wants. We are to die to ourselves daily. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that takes everything I have within me to do. Because by nature, I'm selfish. By nature, I want to be before You. By nature, I want my well-being above Yours. By nature, I want my health above Yours. That's just our sinful nature. We're selfish at our core. We're rotten at our core. When the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one, that's an understatement. And so the desperate need for the Savior, the desperate need for a Savior, the desperate need for His forgiveness is paramount in our life. The desperate need for the guidance of the Holy Spirit should be paramount in our life, because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be made holy. Without His leading, there is nothing good within inside of us. It's only whenever we are led by His Spirit, we are led by His promises, we stand upon His word, only then are we made holy before Him. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you can't memorize enough scripture to be holy. You can't pray long enough to be holy. You might as well get down on your hands and knees and lay flat and roll 12 miles. You might as well erect a totem pole and set up on that totem pole and stay up there on your own strength, because that's exactly what we're doing when we're trying to run this thing on our own strength and our own understanding and our own willpower and our own ignorance, is that we're trying to be holy all in ourselves so that we can lift this holiness that we've created up to a sovereign God and have Him wink at it and say, it's all right, it's good, it's okay. You know, in the Old Testament, God, in order to rectify the sins of His people, He created a sacrificial system. And He said that if you would sacrifice a lamb, I would push your sins back. And so He created this system where the priests brought in the lamb, the best that the family had, to sacrifice the lambs to push their sins back for a year. And He knew that the only way to appease sin was through the blood. And God got to a point where they were throwing in their sacrificial lambs without any thought to the process. They were slaughtering animals, but they were not repentant of their sins and their wicked ways. They were taking advantage of the system. They were saying, here's the best I have. Some of them were throwing in lambs that had spots and blemishes. Some were even sick and anemic. And finally, God got tired of it, because they were doing all of this stuff in their own strength, and they were doing this stuff without even thinking about it, without any repentance whatsoever, no sorrow for sin, no crying out to God for forgiveness. And the Lord got to a point where He said, I am sick of your sacrifices. And today he's saying this, I am sick of your self-created holiness. I'm sick and tired of your man-made religion. I'm sick and tired of this thing that you have called church. I'm sick and tired of these weak and anemic sacrifices that you offer up before me that has no heart, that has no passion, that has no real repentance. Now, we think about the Father, and we think about a Father that has a smile on his face as he picks his child up and brings him up and has smiles all over his face, and he wraps his children up and he loves them. And we think of God as a loving Father, and he is, but he's also a God that is just. He's also a God that judges. He's also a God that hates our sin. Amen? God hates our sin. He hates our man-made holiness. He hates our man-made religion. He hates it. He said to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, it is a stench in my nostrils and I cannot stand it any longer. And every time God speaks to the prophets, there's great repentance in the land because the prophets give the word from the Lord. Today, God does the same thing. He's speaking through prophets. He's speaking through pastors telling you, watch your lives. Watch how you live your lives. Do not make what I have created as holy as something man-made. Follow me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lean upon me and not upon your own understanding. Do not build something that I cannot approve. Do not build something that I cannot stand. The Bible says he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our understanding of who he is. Now, I know that I have not a whole lot of jokes for you today, and this isn't a lighthearted affair, but listen to me. God is pushing us to holiness. God is pushing us to holiness and righteous living. He's calling us to a higher level. He is calling us to a different place that we've never been before, not just as a church, but individually. When you go home today, before you lay your head down, say, Father, what is it? What more of me do you want? And trust me, he will tell you. I prayed that very prayer last week, and the Lord spoke to me specifically what else he wanted of me. Now, I could have said, but I'm doing that. I think you're wrong. I'm doing that. Just like the person that gets lost in the maze and the guy of the bullhorn that can see the end from the beginning, say, if you'll turn right, you'll get out. Sometimes we're standing there and arguing and saying, no, I've been down that road already. And we argue with a sovereign God that knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says that he has created every single day just for you. He has your best in mind. He knows that you cannot do it by yourself. That's why he sent his son Jesus, so that we no longer had priests to sacrifice for us, but we had access 24/7. Every single day of our lives to the throne room of God through Jesus' blood. That's why Jesus had to also leave, so that the Holy Spirit could come, that he would not only just forgive us of our sins, but that we would be empowered to overcome. Amen? I don't want to just be forgiven. I want to be known as an overcomer. But I can't do it by myself. I need the power and being equipped by the Holy Spirit to accomplish that in my life. Amen? Do not forget the third person in the Godhead, who is the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who comes in to empower us, not only to empower us, but to help us to be overcomers in this life. Amen? I don't want to just sit at the base of the mountain and say, I made it. I want to go to the top. I want to see what the view looks like from the top. Amen? But the only way that we can do that is to follow the guide. The only way that we can do that is to yield to his leading. The only way that we can be made holy is by his leading. Nothing that we can do with our hands, nothing that we conceive with our minds, no effort that we had can make us holy. It is him and him alone that makes us holy. It's his work on the cross that makes us holy. It's the Holy Spirit's act of empowering us that makes us holy. There is nothing within us that can make us holy. It's him and him alone. I want to encourage you today to be yielded to his Spirit, to be empowered by His direction, and to be obedient to what He says. I don't know about you, but growing up, I didn't think my mom and dad knew everything until now. They tell me things, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. They try to give me wisdom and guidance, and sometimes you guys know what I'm talking about. And then you grow up and you realize how smart your mom and dad is. And then you have to apologize. But you know, the Holy Spirit is active in the earth. Why do I know that? Because God unleashed him. He unleashed him on the day of Pentecost. He turned Peter from a person that was quick to speak. He turned Peter into a person that was hot-headed, very opinionative, a person that was full of talk, a person that in the garden, Jesus said, there's people that are about to come and take me away. And Peter said, I'm going to stay with you. And Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Not just once, but you're going to deny me 3 times before you hear the rooster crow. And Peter was like, that's not true. I'm staying with you. Even if I have to die, I'm staying right here. And when the guards came, and every single one of his disciples scattered, including Peter. Peter followed him at a distance in the darkness, and he got around a fire, and he heard people talking about Jesus being arrested, and he began to talk himself, and one of the servant women said, hey, aren't you that guy? You're with Jesus, aren't you? I can tell your accent gives you away. Peter said, no, I'm not. I don't even know him. She said, yeah, you're the guy. I know, I've seen you before. You've been with him at some of these rallies and stuff. No, I do not know the man. Third time, she presses it even further. Yes, you are the person. I've seen you with Jesus. And Peter went nuts. He began to curse. He began to yell and holler and scream and throw up curses and even curses on himself and says, I do not know the man. And from a distance, he heard the rooster crow. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost took a well-meaning man that loved Jesus but could not hold up under the pressure, same as probably you and I. And on the day of Pentecost, he caused Peter, as the stir of tongues began to go over the disciples and empowering them, and they began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance, and everybody was assembled in Jerusalem because it was Pentecost, and everybody from all kinds of different places from all over the world came in, and they heard these disciples, these unlearned people, speaking in their native language. They knew that they could not have done it because they were normal fishermen. They were carpenters. They were nobodies. They were people that you wouldn't see if you walked into a building. And they were speaking eloquently as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the people said, what's going on here? I hear these unlearned people speaking in my native language. What is the problem? And Peter, the Bible says, full of the Holy Spirit, stood up and said, Jerusalem, let me explain. No longer was he this well-meaning person that had a lot of zeal but no knowledge. Now he was empowered with a power that was not his own, but a power that came from heaven, from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a comforter, and he's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you power that you did not earn, strength that is not yours, to speak my word. Peter experienced a holiness that day that was not his own. And he was captivated by it. To the point at the end of his life when he was captured, when he was about to be crucified as Jesus was, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same manner So they crucified him upside down. Paul, the Apostle Paul, persecuted the church, zealous for the law, zealous for the priests, zealous in his own right and his own heart. He was a very ambitious man. But he had an encounter one day with Jesus, and it changed him forever. He experienced a holiness that was not his own. He was forever changed by the power of God. No longer did he persecute the church, but he advanced the church. And he did it despite his life. He did it despite his well-being. He did it despite being put in prison, being beat and stoned and left for dead. Shipwreck, snake bit, you name it. Being lowered down the city walls in a basket in the dead of night just to get out of there, just to barely survive. Paul said this. He said, I didn't claim to know anything before you guys except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I didn't come to you guys with eloquence of words, but with, listen to me, demonstration. Demonstration of power. That power did not come from his own self. It didn't come from the beatings. It didn't come from the floggings. It didn't come from the rocks being hurled at his head. It didn't come from being lowered down in baskets. It didn't come from being persecuted and left for dead. It came because he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He had an encounter with something bigger than himself. And he yielded to it. He yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. And because of that, his life exuded the holiness of God. My question today is, what is your life exuding? Is it your crowns that's being lifted up? Because I want to tell you, church folks are extremely prideful. They're prideful about their tithe. They're prideful about their coming to church. They're prideful about this and that and the other, how much scripture they know. There's a lot of pride. We know the Bible says that pride comes before the fall. Church, we are the greatest. Not when we're on our knees, but when we're on our faces. When we're on our faces before the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the more I pastor and the more I teach, especially here, the more I realize how much I have to spend on my face before the Lord to seek His face, to relinquish every talent and every gifting God that has given me and said, Lord, I am incapable of leading anybody without You first leading me. I'm incapable of leading my family. I'm incapable of leading my children. I'm incapable of leading you and this fine church without the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because it's His holiness that makes us righteous. It's His holiness that empowers us. It's His holiness that brings us direction. It's His holiness and not our own. That's why there has to be a death to a believer. Sometimes those deaths are miserable. Sometimes those deaths are long and stretched out. How many of you guys have ever seen that Monty Python thing? You know, there's a skit in there where this guy gets, you know, they're sword fighting and everything, and he dies like for an hour. He falls around and acts like he's dying for an hour. And sometimes that's us as well. It's a long, painful death sometimes. Because what we want has power over us. Amen? What we want has power over us. Worst financial decision I ever made was buying a boat. Wanted a boat real bad. Had a buddy that had a boat, had it 8 years. kept it in pristine condition. He kept it inside of a garage so it didn't get beat down by the weather. He kept it in great shape. So when he said he wanted to sell it, I waited and I said, that's my boat, I want it. So I bought it. Well, I used it about 5 or 6 times, and then after that, it used me. It took my time, it took my money, it took everything. And when I sold it, I was still in the hole, a whole lot of money. And because my wants was very strong, I wanted a boat. I saved for it. I thought I deserved it. It was mine. Should have prayed about that. How many guys should have prayed about something before? You know, I said that to say this. Even in the smallest things in our life, we are to bring up before the Lord. We are to bring up before Him, because you will be surprised, even at the smallest things, how many times God will give us a no. Now my question is, will you listen? Will you trust that His best is the best for our life and not our own way of thinking? You see, I gave you the illustration about the lemon earlier, and I asked you to envision squeezing that thing. Sometimes the Lord does that very thing to our lives as well. He puts the squeeze on us because He wants to see that what comes out He identifies with. Because it's not until you've been put into the pressures of life, into the decisions of life, into the moral decisions that you have to make, when nobody else would know the difference, that's when the squeezing begins to take place. And the Lord says, what's going to come out of this pressure cooker? What's going to come out of you whenever the pressure's on? What's going to come out of you when you have to make those decisions of right and wrong, of righteousness and justness? What's going to come out? Is it going to be something that I recognize? Or is it going to be something completely different that you have made? When you feel the pressure of the Lord and the pressing of the Holy Spirit on your life, it's not to destroy you, it's to establish you. It's to create in you a new spirit, a right spirit, a spirit that glorifies God, that yields to His will, yields to His word. Being yielded to His Spirit is our chief goal as believers. Not our church attendance, not our tithe. All of those things take back seat to our obedience to Him. Because how you are, the amount that you're obedient to Him depends on, it comes out in your giving. It comes out in your attendance. It comes out in your Bible reading. It comes out in every facet of your life, how you obey the Lord. Because it's in that obedience that He causes you to be holy, and no other way. I wish there was an easier way. I really do. I wish there was something, an app I could download. I wish there was some kind of file I could download on my computer that would make it easier to follow the Lord. There just isn't. You know, throughout all of history, every time the church was persecuted, every time the church was put to death and people were martyred, it advanced the kingdom of God through their blood. Now, you would think it would cause people to rethink this stuff. Well, it was just a prayer. I don't know if I can, you know... I don't know if I can give my life on a prayer, but it's more than a prayer. Because when there's none of you left and all He sees is you or Himself, what a powerful picture that is. A person that is devoted fully to the Lord Jesus, that is yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and is empowered to live an overcoming life. That's what holiness is all about. It's not our tithe. It's not our attendance. It's not your ear toward me. It's not being good. It's not memorization of the Bible. It's Him and Him alone. Amen? Him and Him alone. Let's all stand up. Holiness, church, is not an option. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "He who called you is holy. So be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.'" It says, "Be holy in all that you do." Funny thing about that word "all" in the Greek and Hebrew, still means all. It means everything. It means nothing left. Now I want to encourage you today. What does holiness have to do with you? Everything. Everything. So with your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to talk to you just for a second. Everyone who professes to be a Christian should ask themselves, is there evidence of holiness in my life? Do I desire to become more like Christ every day? Does it bother me when I sin? Do I grieve over the lack of purity in my life? Do I seek God daily to get closer to Him? Or do I want to strive to be like my own self and be about my own agenda? Or do I want to be like Him? Those are questions that we have to ask ourselves. Because the end result is life to our bodies. That if we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, if we yield to His calling and His prompting, if He sees any wicked way that is in us, that we yield to that and become obedient and cast that thing out as far as the east is from the west, because the end result is life to our bodies, life to our spirit. And our life begins to bear fruit. Fruit that is not of our own self. A fruit that is from the Father. A holiness that is not our own. I encourage you today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Him today, today is your day. Bible says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. All right. Guess we're going to wrap that. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I lift up each and every person that is here today. And I pray, Lord, that they've heard your calling. I pray, Lord, that they've heard your word today. I pray, Father, that they follow you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I pray, Father, that they would be obedient to your word in 1 Peter that says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy." Today, if you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit requiring more of your life, you say, "Pastor, I want more of Him, but I'm not quite sure what to do." I want you to come and I want to pray for you. You say, "Pastor, I've been living in under the operation of my own self for quite a while, and I want to yield today. I know I'm a believer. I have assurance that I'm saved, but I've been following my own agenda, and today I want to be led by the Holy Spirit." If that's you today, I want you to come, and I want to pray for you. So come today.